So, for the last segment of today, we're going to be chatting to Michael Yates. He's from Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, and we're going to be chatting about this. I don't know if it's a little bit strange, especially for the corporates out there, flexi hours and the case for it. I know there are two schools of thought, especially in South Africa, where the old school autocratic bureaucratic management doesn't think you're working if you're not at your desk between certain times. And then there are the others that are taking the lead from the global initiative to let people work how and when they can to further facilitate the work-life balance. Good morning, Michael. Are you on the line? Good morning, Michael. Do we have you? Okay, Michael, can you hear us? Seems we're having those gremlins back in here. They run around and climb up into our machinery and into the desks. Give us 2 minutes to sort out our technical glitches, yeah? Good morning, Michael, are you there? Ah, no. It seems that Michael is not there. Ah, yeah, how's that? We've got a. Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Michael. It seems we're having some technical issues here. Well, I think that technology has revolutionized the workplace. And gone are the days where you should really clock in at 9 a.m. and go home at 5, you know, that whole 9-to-5 thing that Dolly Parton sang about. Innovation has allowed us to work wherever, whenever we can. And it does increase productivity, and it does increase the workers' love of his job, to be able to work wherever and whenever they can. So, Michael, are you online there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank
Ah,
you.
fantastic. Sorry, we've got gremlins running up and down this studio this morning, sticking spoons and forks into everything. Thank you. As I was saying, technology has really revolutionized the workplace, and flexi hours has become more common. But there are two schools of thoughts around this. Is that the old bureaucratic, autocratic management and management systems and managers out there don't believe you work unless you're at your desk from 9 to 5? But then there are the more progressive companies that see the benefits and the productivity benefits of allowing a better work-life balance and people to choose how and when and where they work. Is this something you guys are seeing?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. The what we are seeing in the workplace is really, as you say, the two schools of thought where managers don't really see the benefits that a flexible working arrangement can give to an employer. Really, there is a huge technological advantage that companies can make use of in order to streamline processes. But that does go hand in hand with a alternative management style and a bit of a mental shift in the way in which you manage your employees. What a lot of managers or progressive companies do is that they've got clear and measurable performance parameters against which employees are measured against. And as long as they hit those performance parameters, the employees can come and go as they please. They can structure their daily routines or their lives according to job and their own personal lives as well. So the real trick or the key to success here is communication with the employees and what is expected of them, paired with a clear and measurable performance parameters. And where employees don't meet those performance parameters, our laws are currently structured in order to give employers the necessary tools and mechanisms in which to deal with poor performance in the workplace.
Well, absolutely. You know, it's you are required to produce one widget per day. How you do that, when you do it, it's of no concern to the employer, as long as you meet those criteria.
Yes, correct. I think the one thing that must be said is that it brings a couple of additional challenges to the workplace, because obviously you now give to your employees the means to carry your intellectual property out into the world. And you need to have the technological safeguards in place in order to protect your IP. to make sure that your employees don't treat it recklessly or let it fall into the hands of competitors or whatever it might be. So you need to have strong policies in place. You need to have strong IT security in place in order to cater for this kind of work model. But all of these solutions are practically available off the shelf, and policies, well-drafted policies, can go a very long way in order to protect the business and in turn create certain efficiencies and cost savings in the workplace.
And those policies can be used to effectively communicate the goals. I find that is one of the downfalls of these systems, and even 9-to-5 systems, is where goals and key performance indicators are not clearly outlined for the employee.
That's correct. Look, I mean, that's true whether the employee reports to work between 9 and 5 every day in an office environment, or if they're allowed to work from home.
Yeah.
I mean, clear performance parameters are key to performance assessments down the line in order to make sure that everybody's on track and know what is expected of them.
Yeah.
But you know, more so with flexible working hours, the real trick is to have a measurable performance parameter. And of course, employers don't need to commit themselves 100% to a flexible working arrangement, because as long as the employers reserve the right to withdraw this arrangement, if it doesn't seem to be working out, there's nothing wrong with that. But that must be part of the arrangement. You do what is expected of you. Otherwise, we will reserve the right to call you into the office and keep you here.
I think that is an absolutely vital component attached to this, because as much as I usually step on the management for not having the foresight to implement flexi hours to allow their employees this work-life balance and to, you know, control their own time, there are those employees who are just not up to the task. There are people that don't have self-management skills, and you will assign. I personally, we had a guy that would work for us, and every payday he would disappear for 3 or 4 days. And you know, so now you've got this remedial action that you can take by rescinding this. So it's also perhaps a carrot and a stick approach.
Well, correct. I mean, if you do have a flexi time arrangement, that individual that disappears every payday shouldn't be too much of a concern, as long as his work is up to date and his performance is good.
Yeah,
you know, that's the whole point of flexi time. You know, as long as his duties are done for the day, then you don't really need to monitor him.
Yeah, unfortunately, it wasn't. that was the fly in the soup there.
Correct, and you know, our laws are currently structured to already deal with that.
Yeah.
You know, whether you deal with it as a misconduct issue, but preferably to deal with it as a poor performance or a performance rated aspect. But you know, there's nothing wrong with a flexi time arrangement. It's not an all or nothing arrangement. You know, some employers allow employees to work from home 3 days a week, but they require their employees to come in 2 days a week.
Yeah.
For instance, being able to monitor some form of progress control on the employee. And what a lot of companies are doing is that they opt for a smaller, more cost-efficient workplace with what they typically call hot desks.
Yeah.
So if it's your turn to come into the office on a Monday or a Tuesday or whenever, you go not to a designated workspace for yourself, but to an open plan workspace where you just plug your computer in and then you're linked to the system and you can work from anywhere in the office. And then you can have your face-to-face meeting with your manager or whatever it might be. So there are lots of variants around it and how to deal with it. But as long as you've got these communications and the policies in place to cater for it, it's very possible.
Yeah.
And a lot of employers do this as a measure of cost saving, which would also avoid possible retrenchments in the future.
Well, I absolutely agree. And I think another thing which is over the years has really got my goat is that you are assigned to do a specific task. As I mentioned, you have to produce that one widget every day. And the longer you do the job, the more adept and proficient you become at it. And you produce your widget in half the day. And then they lump on a second widget. And I think this is why they like to be able to keep control and see what you're doing. The more productive you get, the more productivity you have to produce. I'm not sure if that makes any sense to you. As opposed to hiring a person for a specific job and a specific output, you're hiring them as a producer. And you try and lump on as much as possible on that specific producer in an eight-hour period.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there are many schemes in which you can come up with to stimulate productivity. You know, if you have an arrangement, let's call it a commission-based outcome remuneration system, you know, for every one, a minimum of one widget a day is required, but if you produce two or three, your remuneration will be commensurate with that output. There's nothing wrong with a scheme like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. In a perfect world, but as we all know, that doesn't quite work. So now, what do you say to guys here? Okay, you want to implement a flexi time policy. Where does one start? How do you know? Some people don't want to do it. Some people like the 9 to 5. Other people are unable to work. Are there models to follow?
Look, I think the very first port of call is to see if your particular industry is, shall I say, if there are synergies between your business and your model of your business with flexed time hours. For instance, a manufacturing business won't necessarily be able to use a flexed time arrangement because you need the feet in the factory to effectively attend to the production. But if you're environment, I would say the first core technological solutions are out there that would work for your particular business. Once you have found a technological solution, I think it is always a good point to make sure that you have the correct documentation in place. And here I'm talking about employment contract arrangements and workplace policies and procedures in order to make sure that your confidentiality is ensured, to make sure that your IT security is ensured before you actually go live, so to speak, with your flexi time arrangement. Once you've got all the fundamentals down, then you can start off with a flexi time arrangement with particular employees that would suit in that particular role. Uh-huh. In other words, if you have sales staff or if you have certain managerial staff that can perform some of their duties at home, you can put them on a trial basis to say, okay, we'll allow you to work 3 days at home and 2 days at the office for the first 3 months. If we can see that you can self-manage and that your output doesn't drop, then we can move to a longer-term solution of being out of the office for 4 days or even permanently out of the office, and you only come in when you need to.
I can imagine that a lot of the managerial control freaks, this must be a living nightmare for them to consider. Not being able to peer over their employees all the time and ensure it.
I was just going to comment that, yes, there is a mind shift, and we probably need this mind shift. With cloud-based technology, nothing stops the control freak manager to log into a system and see where his employee is with the development of the particular widget, because you can log on and have data sharing. So you don't necessarily have to have the person physically in the office. You can have Skype meetings. You can log on to the cloud and see the development on the existing document so that you can see if the person has actually started the work and how far they are from completion. And in many aspects, that's a lot more accurate to gauge for oneself the progress that is being done.
Yeah, the data doesn't lie, or knowledge doesn't lie, for that matter. I've been at jobs where, once again, you get adept and proficient at what you do, and you complete your job in 2 hours, and then you spend the rest of the day looking busy. You know, because you have to try and justify your reason for being there.
Correct. And this is where the clear and measurable performance parameters becomes very relevant and must be clearly drafted, because you're not paying the individual for the output of a single widget per day, unless if that is your intent.
Yeah.
Because many companies will say, okay, well, if you're able to complete one widget in 2 hours, you should be able to complete four widgets in a day.
Yeah.
And we want to try and incentivize that. We want to try and ensure that. And you know, how you manage that will be particular to every particular business in its own right. With, for instance, sales staff, it is possible for you to keep a GPS log of the employee's movements during the course of the day. But of course, all of this needs to go with the necessary consents and confirmations that you are keeping track of an employee's movement during the course of working hours.
I could imagine one would run afoul of the Poppy Act on that, should the right things not be in place.
Absolutely. But, things like that become relevant where you are required to go and see five customers in a day and report on that.
Yeah.
And you may put that down on your timesheet, but you actually only went to go and see two clients in a day.
Yeah.
So, you know, trust does play an element, but there are technological solutions to keep employees on the straight and narrow, as long as it's not abused by employers. And, of course, you need the requisite legal consents to make sure that it's done above board.
So a big factor here, it would seem, is that the process must be measurable.
Absolutely. You know, it's very, you know, speaking from a labor lawyer's point of view, it's very difficult to initiate a poor performance program against an employee who doesn't exactly know what their parameters of performance are, you know. If you say that we are going to measure you against this and this criteria, then at least there is something objective that both the employer and the employee can rely on. And when it comes to actually initiating a poor performance regime, then it's beyond question as to what was required and where the employee is falling foul of the expected standards of performance from them.
Yeah, having measurable tangibles. I mean, you know, in a lot of companies that I've worked for and spoken to friends, outputs and performance is a vague concept somewhere in the ether that is interpreted differently from different department to department.
Well, you see, in the traditional office environment, where you walk past your manager on a daily basis, you could probably get away with a slightly more vague performance criteria because there's constant feedback. But where the person isn't in touch with his manager on a daily basis, it becomes more and more critical to have those kind of measurables in place, something that the employee can revert back to and look at and see, am I hitting the mark or am I missing it?
Absolutely.
Absolutes, yes, or as close to it as possible.
Yeah.
I know that there are positions where people are free to express creativity in the exercise of their jobs and to go the extra mile and so on and so forth. But there are ways and means in which these performance criteria can be structured in order to cater for scenarios like this.
Okay, and final question from myself. Does this actually increase productivity? Does it decrease operating expenses? Does it make for a happier workforce? Or is it just a new fad, something nice to have? It's a Me Too kind of implementation.
No, I think you've hit the nail on the head at the start of this conversation where you said some can and some can't. Those who can work independently and who are self-motivated get terribly frustrated in an office environment, and they would be more productive where they've got the luxury of time. You know, with the millennial generation entering the workplace, and I think we're all guilty of it, you know, when you wake up at 5:30 or 6 in the morning, the first thing you reach for is your cell phone or your tablet, and you look at your emails. You're already at work when you do that, and you're already lying in bed. And some people may prefer to lie in bed at 6:00 in the morning and answer all of their emails. That makes for very efficient work time, if you know what I mean, instead of having to sit in the traffic for an hour and a half before you get to your destination. So in that aspect, yes, it can be a lot more productive. Whereas those who can't self-motivate would be terribly frustrated and bear the brunt of the employer's displeasure if they can't sit and dedicate themselves to work during office hours at home. And they may even prefer just to come into the office because it's a dedicated environment.
So would a mixed model work in this case where employees could choose? Because I could imagine a certain amount of, I don't know, dissatisfaction from those people who have chosen the 9-to-5, who can't self-manage, who see those who can flit in and out and come in 2 days a week and making exactly the same money. Perhaps it's also a motivating factor for them to, I don't know, self-manage better.
Yeah, correct. And, you know, I think you would have to decide for your own business whether this is something that you would like to try out on a test basis, and if it is commensurate with your business. It could be seen as an additional benefit to employment. You could, employees who are able to demonstrate an ability to do this could be granted this latitude in terms of a flexi time policy, for instance.
Yeah.
You can reserve this for a certain class of seniority going up, or for all across the board, depending on your own industry.
Once again, it could be a carrot, eh?
It could absolutely be a carrot. And you know, if the employer is diligent in managing its employees who do take the flexi time option, the existing provisions in our legislation would quickly deal with those who can't self motivate at the workplace. You know, there is nothing more sobering than a letter from your employer saying, we want to have a meeting with you because we don't feel you are meeting the performance standards.
We need to talk.
Yes, and I mean, you can revoke that benefit either permanently or temporarily until the employee has come up to the standard required of them, and have a second go at it, I suppose.
Absolutely. Fantastic. I can't believe it. We have run out of time. Where can people get hold of you? Do you have a website where people can come and have a look at what you guys do?
Yes. Look, we're called Cliff Decker Hofmeyer.
Yep.
We're one of the large law firms, and they're welcome to go to our website at www.cliffdeckerhofmeyer.com.
Fantastic. Michael, thank you so much for your time. That was enlightening. I think this is the wave of the future, and I think slowly, as they say, and we will get this right going forward.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time.
Cheers.
All right. Bye-bye. Was Michael Yates. He was he's a lawyer from Cliff Decker Hofmeyer in the HR division. Fantastic stuff. I'm very excited about flexi time and new working ideologies, new working parameters.